right. There are stations that are just joining us now. You have missed two very important hours, and it's going to be impossible to catch you up, but we'll try. Malachi Martin, my guest, is an ex-Jesuit, former exorcist for many, many years, and one-time advisor to three popes. He is now a best-selling author as a premier investigator of the clandestine politics and unlikely alliances of popes and cardinals. Dr. Martin offers rare insights in his books into the men who guide nearly a billion people in faith and broker the destinies of countries and continents. As a member of the Vatican Intelligence Network under Pope John the 23rd, Martin helped extend the church into Iron Curtain countries. In 1964, concerned about the corrupting influences of power, Martin was released from his vows of poverty and obedience after 25 years as a Jesuit. He left Rome for New York, where he did odd jobs until a Guggenheim Fellowship enabled him to write his first bestseller, Hostage to the Devil, followed by the final conclave, Vatican, Three Popes and the Cardinal, The Keys of This Blood, The Jesuits, and others. He has been reviewed by many, 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 many. Forbes said, no spiritual journey is complete without a Vatican page-turner by Malachi Martin. Sacramento Bee said, it is to Martin's credit that his real-life fictional cardinals have flesh, bone, and blood, sometimes the heart of a South Chicago ward healer. The Dallas Morning News said, in biblical times, they would have called him a prophet. He just described in great detail what exorcisms are like. Doctor, are you there?
Yes.
How you've held up through great exorcisms. How are you holding up this morning?
Very well indeed. I mean, this has been an exhilarating experience, Art.
All right, I have a lady who would like to speak to you. She sent me a fax, Doctor, and I called her. She sent me the following.
Yes.
Art, please help me. If I'm not possessed, then I'm being harassed, tormented, used, abused, sodomized, all of it. I believe my mother promised me to her evil spirit. My family is an old American family. Mm. I converted to Judaism 30 years ago. And she sounded so much like somebody you described that I thought I would bring her on the air for a moment. Her name is Eva. Eva, are you there?
Yes.
You're on.
My name is Eva.
Eva, all right, Eva. I'm sorry. You're on the air with Dr. Martin.
How do you do, Dr. Martin?
Good morning, Eva. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well. Yeah, thank you.
Good. If you are in that condition, if you think you fulfill all those conditions in your life, you should apply to the local bishop, the bishop of the diocese in which you live. I don't know what that diocese is. I don't need to know.
San Francisco,
yeah. Well, there may be a difficulty there because
yeah.
a lot of the clergy in San Francisco have given up any belief in the existence of evil, above all in the existence of evil spirits, and I wouldn't at all be surprised if the Archbishop of San Francisco is among those.
Yes.
I do not know, Eva. I love San Francisco. I've been there several times in my life. I'd love to live there.
Don't bother. I don't choose to be here.
I know. Well, that's what happens with most of us. Our place of living is imposed on us. But in any case, you have to apply to the local bishop for an exorcist.
Now, you say that a person who is truly possessed,
yes,
is aware of it and has made a deal.
Well, put it like this, yes. With conditions and restrictions, that's true of anybody who's possessed, partially possessed.
Is
or
it a
fully
straightforward
possessed
deal?
What's that?
Is it a straightforward deal?
No, it's never straightforward.
Never straightforward.
No, it's never straightforward. You're always at the heel of the hunt in the matter. But you think it's straightforward, but it isn't.
Oh, no. What I mean is what I'm trying to figure out.
Yes.
In a way, speaking with you is a dream come true.
Uh-huh.
And it's also a bit of...
Thank you very much for saying that.
A bit of a nightmare.
I know, Eva. Well, apart from anything else, I promise you that when I say Mass this morning, which I shall after this broadcast, I'll give you a first intention in that Mass.
There was a time when I would have just laughed at that, but
I know.
I have tremendous respect for it now.
You've acquired wisdom.
My concern is for my grown married children.
Oh, boy.
And
oh,
my
boy.
Grandchildren. I'm afraid to people that I've become attached to or involved with, and that does include my family.
Yes.
Bad things happen, and I'm really afraid to be around people. I'm thinking of a few deaths in particular, and stuff happens.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about, and my heart goes out to you. It really does.
What can she do, Doctor?
She must find a good priest.
Doctor, I would like to ask you a question.
Sure.
One other time, I was listening to a talk radio program, and a woman was on who all you had to do was call up and say your name and your age or something, she would sense these stuff about you. And I called.
Yes.
And I gave my name and my age and so on. And she said, there's a very strong presence of a man who's been with you for about 10 years, and you really need to do something about that.
And was it accurate? It was accurate.
Yes. And I didn't follow it up. It's really taken me close to a year to be comfortable with actually saying that.
I know. I would be chary if I were you. Of any freelancer in this whole matter.
No, it's
terribly serious. You see, there's no doubt about it. A demon can have information about one without any reference to God at all, without any reference to our safety.
I've already learned that.
Yeah, they can know things. You need to be under the protection of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you need the authority of Christ to get rid of any harassing or obsessing angel in your life, because you don't sound as if you're possessed, but you do sound harassed.
Yes, sir.
And obsessed.
Yes, sir.
And that's the commonest form of demonic activity today.
Now, explain this to me. At one time was even fairly unfriendly about the Catholic Church, but there's been so much movement now that you'd have to decide to... There are so many factions.
Yes, of course.
Which is good, to my point of view.
Yes.
You say, give myself up to the authority of Christ.
Yes.
Through
an exorcist.
That doesn't mean to accept Christ as a savior. It just means to acknowledge the authority that Christ would have in this matter.
That's right. But I must be frank with you. Once you admit Christ as having authority in this matter, and once you benefit by that authority, you'll find that he lives in your heart.
Well, he was a Jew.
Eva, we are out of time and we must go, but I think the upshot here is seek the advice of the church of an exorcist.
What I'm saying is that I don't, it's Jew. Yeshu, I just don't want to leave it on that note. I accept about Christ the man and what a wonderful,
I know that,
important
Eva.
Man he was. So.
Well, yes, you want to put it like that. But let's leave it at that, Eva. But I'll be praying for you.
Right.
That's a promise.
All right. Doctor, I just got the following, and maybe you can tell me the kind of person that this came from. Dear Art, your present conversation with the priest is not without dangerous complications and consequences. I don't have to tell you just how many minds are listening to you on the radio, minds that can be in turmoil, minds unknowledgeable of the subject and the danger. I beg you to end this conversation without delay. This is somebody who is afraid of what they're hearing.
Yes, I can imagine that it would, to certain minds, represent a danger. But it can suggest things to people, and I'm sorry if it does. There's no suggestiveness in what you're saying or what I'm saying, but the outlining of a reality in our lives, the presence of evil, is surely something that we must admit and acknowledge and not be blind. So I appreciate their fears, but I think they're ill-founded.
Doctor, during the course of an exorcism, what things or messages do you typically hear from a demon? In that process, in that war, in that confrontation, what do you hear?
You hear, if you lay yourself open to it, you hear reproaches about your life, your past life and your present life. If there's anything to be reproached, he'll throw it at you like mud. Then you also hear, if you allow it to continue, an exorcist must control everything, you hear a lot about what it could be like if we weren't bothered about details like religion. You hear a lot of deceptive suggestions and of peacefulness, and let everybody think and do what they want to do, the message. Then in the extreme cases, you get total blasphemy.
They go after you. They try to challenge your faith.
Of course. And it's very subtle. And you mustn't be shook by that. You mustn't be shaken by that. You must be able to deal with it and never answer a question, never take up something shoved at you. Always be in control.
A priest,
always give commands.
A priest is also a man with faults, with guilt, with the things, perhaps fewer than the rest of us, but things that can be thrown into his face to make him weak.
That's right, they can. And they can shame him, and they can weaken him. And for that reason, he needs to be virtuous. He needs not to have sin on his soul. He needs to have cleansed his soul in confession. He needs to be clean. If he's not clean, the demon will know it.
Is it possible, as in that movie, The Exorcist, that the demon can move from the possessed to the exorcist?
Yes. That's the danger. You can't have any truck with this unless you're in control.
Otherwise, you remember doing exorcisms in which you weakened?
Yes, I do, when I was momentarily shaken, yes, by the shocking things said to me about God, about the angels, about heaven, about human beings, about human love above all, and the contempt and the despisement and the ridicule that human love is accorded by the demon when he really talks. It's something frightening. And you realize then that all human love is useless unless it mirrors the love of God.
So human love by itself is insufficient.
It's insufficient. It can be ridiculed and mocked and imitated and reproduced falsely. When it is an echo of divine love, then it's divine.
Speaking of false things, Doctor, is it possible or probable that a person taking drugs is more susceptible to the possibility of possession?
Yes. In fact, there's a twist to that I'd like to give to it. You can, through exorcism, be rid of a drug habit. Because in many cases, not all, I'm sure, but in many cases, the lapse into a drug habit, the adoption of a drug habit, is the result of satanic influence, demonic activity.
What
you can get rid of it.
What if you were to give out sort of a general piece of advice to people who are wondering about possession, what signs do you look for?
This, if in your life there is some imperative coming out of left field, not of your choice, but commanding you, urging you to do something, to yield, to be controlled, and know that that can herald demonic activity. For instance, let me explain something to you. we heard a lot for a long time. We still hear a lot about transcendental meditation. And the essence of it was that you made your mind blank.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And you channeled. The difficulty, Art, is this. If you do that,
you open a door.
You open the door and say, come in. And the same thing with the Ouija board. And the same thing with many channeling activities.
It is not necessarily the board itself. That's just cardboard. But when you use it in that manner, you're issuing an invitation.
That's right. And you're saying, the door is open. Please come in, whoever you are. You can't do that with impunity. You can't do that with impunity. And many a case we're dealing with today started with a simple thing as the Ouija board used as a plaything. But it got serious.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are spiritual seances of the same kind. Channeling. Waiting for the spirits to talk. Oh, they talk.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, we talked about earlier the quickening. You talked about an increase in possession or exorcisms mm-hmm. of 800%. 800%.
That's right.
In what span of time have we seen this increase?
Since about 1969 to 1989, in that time. It's a funny thing. A lot of things have happened in that time in the world and in the Church of Rome, my church, about which I've just written that book, Windswept House. And it's all, a lot of it is negative. There's a lot of negativity. And there's been a lot of bloodshed in that time, by the way. And there's been a lot of environmental damage. And surely Lucifer, who wants the death of the human race, will use any means, especially radiation, to destroy human hopes and human life.
When we come back after the bottom of this hour, I would like to ask you whether we are approaching the final days. I want to ask you about the rapture.
Okay.
Thank you. So stay right there, Doctor. Dr. Malachi Martin is my guest. And we will take calls as we're able to here, so bear with us, but we'll get more and more toward the telephone. A fascinating night, without question. Dr. Malachi Martin is my guest from Manhattan, where it's getting pretty late in the morning. I'm Art Bell, and you're listening to the CBC Radio Network.